We're going to continue in this fifth chapter of Jeremiah tonight in my desires to finish it. So I want to go ahead and pray, and we're going to continue in this passage of scripture. Can you all hear me fairly well?
Yes,
all right. Okay, give me a second. I think let's move this up a little bit closer. There we go. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, and we ask that you feed us from the table of your holy and righteous word. You know what we all stand in need of. I ask that you help us each and every day. If we fail to thank you for things, I ask that you forgive us. Help us not to presume upon your goodness. Where we need to grow, I ask that you continue to shine the light on it, and let us not be stubborn and stiff-necked as we see so often individuals have been throughout history who are called by your name. Help us to grow. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue in the fifth chapter of the book of Jeremiah. You might want to mute the phone for me, the line. And I've said many times that the book of Jeremiah is heavy, and I recall saying last week that this fifth chapter is a sad chapter, and I still say that is very heavy. So what I want to do is I'm gonna give a recap of about the first 14 verses, because I believe that's where I stopped on last week, and then we'll go on through now. I know what is in my mind to do. So let me just tell you some other passages that we might visit tonight. Amos, in the fifth chapter a little bit. Okay. Zephaniah in the first chapter, a little bit. And we'll just see how I'm led as we continue to go into the Word of God. My title for the lesson tonight is Yahweh's questions should pierce to the soul. Yahweh's questions should pierce to the soul. I give it this particular title tonight because I was going back and I was looking over this fifth chapter, and while I've seen the questions that God through Jeremiah is posing to this hard-headed group of people, Judah, this nation, the questions just jumped out so to me. I'd like to tell you where they are, and then I'll get ready to go into what I'm going to call my synopsis. The seventh verse of the fifth chapter, the ninth verse of the fifth chapter, and I might leave one or two out. The 22nd verse of the fifth chapter. And then I believe the 29th verse of the fifth chapter. There's some salient, meaning they stand out, some questions that are very impactful, and they pierce. They ought to pierce. Anyway, Lord willing, we'll come to those questions soon. Let's give a recap. Situation had become so bad with the nation of Judah. I'm really going to try to talk tonight. Situation had become so bad in Judah that at the beginning of this particular chapter, you see where there's this Jeremiah. You go through the city of Jerusalem, or let's say Judah, because it's indicative of that southern, what used to be the southern kingdom, and see if you can find an individual. And it was as though there was no hope of finding anyone, though they had God's instruction. They had the words that Moses had given to them. Had the words, had life, had God's instruction, his wisdom. You couldn't find anybody to do that. Yet when you continue to look in the earlier portion of this fifth chapter, the people, they were religious. And they would say certain things. Oh, God lives. Yahweh lives. It's like, yes, be to God. You know how you hear somebody say, Viva Mexico. Let it be. Let it live. Let it thrive. God lives. But when we look at this text, we see that they have been condemned. Oh, Lord, they have been condemned. Well, though their mouths say certain things, their actions totally proved otherwise, that they really were not the people of God. What do I mean by that? In name, yes. Having forefathers, yes. But by their actions, they said, we don't know you, don't care to know you. We will reject you, God. Listen to me. You cannot read the scriptures in a correct manner and not realize that God demands and requires a conduct of righteous living. You can't do it. Well, it's like, you see where God in the third verse, I believe it is, of the fifth chapter, it's like the Bible says that God smote them or he struck them. And it's like, it didn't matter. That is crazy. That is crazy. When God tries to get people's attention, yeah, we're going to be in the scriptures unless something happens to me in the next few minutes. God does something in the life of an individual. I've already started getting excited. And people are too calloused to understand that God is trying to get their attention. Lord have mercy. Of people who are supposed to be called by God, and he told them the consequences of the covenant. I will give you a blessing. I will bless you if you stay obedient to me. Did you hear what I said? I require obedience. And if you don't, there's a cursing. They're both rewards. Well, God struck them. They act like God didn't mean what he did. And it's like they became more calloused and more calloused and more calloused. And Jeremiah, the way the scripture reads, it looked like he tried to rationalize for them. Well, it's probably because they're poor. That's not the right perception, Jeremiah. God knows what he's doing. Well, let me go to the rich. And when he did his looking and so forth to try and figure out why. Well, let's just understand that the heart of man is desperately wicked, Jeremiah will say in the 17th chapter. Yeah. None of the people. Well, we've talked about the prophets being righteous, but I say, as a whole, it's like the nation, their heart just beat wickedness, each pulse. It reminds me a little bit of Genesis 6. Now, I know how Genesis 6 starts out talking about the sons of God, but in the sense of just wickedness. Well, you go on down a little bit and you'll see that there's some imagery where God talks about a lion, a wolf, and a leopard. And these are predators. And these predators, as if they don't spare the prey. They rip it apart. They don't pat it on it. They rip it apart. It's, I'm going for the jugular. I'm going for the meat. I will devour. Tear, scatter, and devour. And it's as if the people say, you will not rule over us, because the Bible gives another image in the fifth chapter, how they take the yoke of God off of their necks. God's yoke is his protection. God's yoke is his direction. But they take it off. So God tells them, he tells us through the scripture, that they had been so busy, preoccupied with serving other gods. We've talked about them, haven't we? Balaam, remember Jezebel? Yes, we've talked about all of this. Well, and you come on down and God says, will I not be avenged? I have taken care of you. I'm going to judge you, and I will be avenged, because it's as if you are stealing from me. I'm the one that brought you up out of Egypt. I'm the one that's done all of this for you, and you're going to like presume upon me as if I'm not going to do anything. I'm very angry with you at this moment. So you get to about the 10th verse and you see where God releases his approval that the other nations from the north, we've talked about this Babylon, and they're going to come in. Listen to how it reads just a little bit. Go ye up upon for her walls. Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Did you hear that? God, oh my gosh. Think about it. When you have been so wicked and God releases, let's say, removes his protection. He removes his protection from you and he says, go have at it. That's what's happening. And people want to say that God is only loving. He is loving. He is merciful. but he is the judge of all heaven and earth. This message is a warning. Oh my gosh. Yahweh's questions should pierce to the soul. Let's go now, because I stopped at verse 14. So God releases, he relinquishes the people, the one that he's been holding back because somebody's been stubborn, a nation has been stubborn. He says, go get them. Back when I was younger, people used to have Dobermans. I was scared of those Dobermans. They looked so smooth and wicked and fierce and just looked like they could pierce through you with their eyes. And they would say, sick them, sick them, sick them, sick them. Seems like God is doing that. Now, that might not make sense in other countries, but it's telling the dog to go get whoever you want. In the 11th verse, as if God is saying that, Judah, you've been unfaithful to me. You've cheated on me. God likened this nation as being married to him. And guess what? In the 12th verse, Judah says, God will not repay. I'm going to read it. So I'm going to pick up at this 12th verse, and I'm going to go down just through the 14th. I'm going to read the questions, and then we're going to continue forward. Listen at this. Verse 12, chapter 5, Jeremiah. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us. Neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. 14. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them. These people have said that the true prophets that have been coming to them, I've mentioned Jeremiah, I've mentioned Zephaniah. Amos was really for Israel, but there are some things that are very, very, very similar. So that's why I've mentioned Amos tonight. And so these various prophets would go to the people, and the people would just disregard them and say, oh, their word's not strong, ain't nothing going to happen. Just like when you feel a little bit, maybe, and then it's gone. They're just like empty, nothing, nothing, nothing. So God now, he's ready to let the Babylonians come in and destroy. To connect to my title, most of the time I said, I think you should hopefully see it. But I want to go in and I want to read those four or five verses where the questions are found. And then I'm going to read from 14 through, I think it's verse 37 or 38. And then we're going to go back and look at these scriptures, pulling in some other context where we can see emphasize the same type things and the wonderful word of God. Now, God's word should pierce to the soul. Before I read the verses, I want to call to our attention the scriptures, because when in seeking truth, we go generally verse by verse through the Bible. Do you remember when Adam sinned, God asked him a question? He said, Adam, where are you? And then Adam tried to wiggle around and answer God as if God is not God Almighty, God above gods, God who made heaven and earth and all that there is in them, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Yes. Adam tries to answers God. You know, Adam, he says, where are you? Interestingly enough, as I grew older, I heard someone speak on this, like, not just where are you located, where are you positionally on this ground? No, where are you? I gave you charges. You were not ignorant. Somehow, my word ceased to be important to you. Where are you, Adam? This is the third chapter of Genesis. When you get to the fourth chapter of Genesis, we see one of the descendants. Let me slow down. I listened to myself a little bit last week, and it was faster than I wanted it to be. We get to the fourth chapter of Genesis, and Cain has killed his brother. God asked Cain a question. Where's your brother? You see, these questions that God asked are questions that pierce to the dividing of the asunder of soul and the spirit. What am I saying? God don't beat around the bush. And his son, when he would ask questions, he didn't beat around the bush. God asked Cain a question. He said, Cain, where's your brother? God sits up high, looks down low, and he sees that Abel has been slain. The Bible says that the blood of Abel was crying out to God. God hears the cries of the righteous, and sometimes it is not the lips. You see in the book of Revelation, when the people of God has been mistreated, you see that the souls under the altar are crying out to God. God asks Cain a question. He says, Cain, where's your brother? Cain tries to answer him in a certain way. So we see wickedness from Adam. We see wickedness from Cain. Can I give one more place in the Bible where God asks a question before we look at these questions? Let's talk about the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. This woman who's got many men in her life, and God said, this should not be. He says, where's your husband? You see, Jesus cut through all the chase, because the Bible says that the heart is supposed to be circumcised. I think it's Deuteronomy 16 and 10. You see it in, let's say, just different places. Romans chapter 2. The symbolic thing whereby the male member that creates life when he's joined to the garden of the woman, that's the way God ordained it. He says, well, this heart is supposed to produce joy. This heart is supposed to produce faithfulness. This heart is supposed to be loyal to me. You give me your mind, heart, body, and soul. Allegiance to me. But anything else that will taint it, cause it to be dirty, keep all of that in. We got to cut it off. Let's look at these questions, and I'm going to read the remaining verses, and we're going to go into the Word of God. All right. Well, we're already in the Word of God, right? Verse 7, chapter 5, poignant questions. Listen at this. Out of all this wickedness that they've been doing, God says, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. We talked about them going up into the high places and so forth, and having all kind of sexual activity outside of God's will, turning after other gods. God said, how am I supposed to pardon this? Let's understand, he said, after I've been so merciful, after I have been long-suffering, how shall I pardon this? Listen at verse 9. Shall I not visit for these things? When God visits, look at Genesis 11. When the people wanted to build the tower, he said, we're going down now to handle some things. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged? Such a nation as this. It didn't sound good. This was the people that God had chosen. I think I said the 22nd verse. Let's go to the 22nd verse here of this particular chapter. If I've skipped one, then it's not because it's not important. 22nd chapter. Fear ye not me. We'll be looking at this in a few minutes, Lord. You don't fear me? You don't fear me? So people say, you don't respect me. Well, listen at this. Fear ye not me, said the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? That's who I am. I control the elements. That's who I am. You don't fear me? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet cannot prevail. They cannot prevail, nor though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. So you don't fear me? Let's turn to verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged? I seek justice. I seek justice. There is a penalty for the transgression against the law, against the law of God. Because when you transgress against God, you're going to probably be transgressing and sinning against someone else. Even if it's yourself, because I told you how to live. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? These questions don't leave room for lying, do they? These questions are like a mirror. So James says that the word of God is like a mirror. And when the questions come, sometimes it's too painful to hear, but it's good to hear it because there's correction in it. However, these people would not hear. Now, before I read this, I'm going to go and read the verses. I'm going to go and treat these verses. Judah asked a question themselves. Judah asked a question in about, I think it's verse 19, but we'll get there in just a second. Thank you for indulging me up to this point. I shall now read from about verse 14 to the end of Jeremiah chapter 5. My title again is Yahweh's Question Should Pierce to the Soul. Verse 14. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far. O house of Israel, saith the Lord, it is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Verse 16. Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thine vines and thy figs. They shall impoverish thy fit cities, wherein thou trustest. With the sword comes in it with force. Verse 18. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. There's hope right there. Nevertheless, all that you've done, nevertheless, though I let loose this nation to come against you to destroy, I'm going to totally rid you as I could. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Verse 20. And it shall come to pass when ye say, wherefore doth the Lord, or doeth the Lord our God, all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, likewise, as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. People today, before we go back to this 22nd verse, don't fear God. It's illogical. His majesty is so high. His power is beyond our comprehension. He is limitless before what we can even think of as a beginning. Controls the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the lightnings, tsunamis. He is, and you don't fear that? Try to see him. Try to behold his glory. Did you not know that the scripture says that no eye has seen him? Yes, his son. And you want to stand beside him and boast? You want to stand beside God Almighty? Listen, verse 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble in my presence? I call to your attention Isaiah 6. I call to your attention the cherubim in Genesis. I call to your attention Revelation. I call to your attention the angelic beings who will strike you down. Speak against it. I call to your attention. He is holy. He says, will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand before the bound of the sea by the perpetual decree? It cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar all they want to, night and day, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people, not as smart, not as obedient as the wave. Listen, this people has a revolting and a rebellious
heart. They are revolted and gone. They have lost their mind. Verse 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. They give his rain, both the former and the latter rain in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. They belong to you. They proceed from you. You are the cause. You did it because you reap what you sow. Judah. You. Get this out of your mouth that God did this to you. You caused this. Listen at it again. Your iniquities. Let me see it this way. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set his snares. They set a trap. They catch men as a cage is full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Three or four more verses here. Verse 28. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause. The cause of the fatherless. These are helpless people right here. Yet they prosper. In the right of the needy do they not judge. Verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation? Is this? Verse 30. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? There's another question in there. Oh, wow. This is like self-explanatory, I think, in many regards. We've given our prophets, our synopsis here, picking back up at verse 14, in light of this, they're still in this, I'm going to call it proverbial court case. And Jeremiah is letting these people know who wants new God. They've rejected the righteousness or the law of God. Let's say that still makes sense. The judgment of God coming through these various prophets. But Judah says these prophets are just like when it means nothing. They've already said, if we've seen in the scripture, that God is not even going to do anything. Be careful when you get that rebellious spirit that God's not going to do anything. God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to put my word in your mouth. And when you speak to the people, it's going to be like fire. It's going to make them uncomfortable. It's going to burn them to the core, and they're not going to like it. The questions that I mentioned from Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 4, and so forth, those questions will have to make you see yourself, and people will either want to spit on you, slap you, kill you, take your job, or whatever. I brought it up a little bit to this time. Jeremiah is going to be put in prison later on. We'll see in like a dungeon. So his words are going to come in, and it's going to cause people to hate him. But let's understand, it's God that they hate. Verse 15, here we go again. This is the repetition here. God's telling them, okay, I've already talked to you about a nation from the north. I'm bringing them. We've seen that they're going to be like a wolf. They're going to be like a leopard, because you've been like a wild ass dromedary that's in heat. That's a female donkey that's just running around, and you looking. They used to be saying, I'm looking for a new love, baby. A new love. I know, like that song just came to my mind. You heard it all the time years ago. That was Judah looking for a new love. When you go up on these hills and you turn your attention away from the things of God and his protection, and you start searching after Baal and Asherah and all these other things, God was looking. Same thing today. God is looking. He says right here, I'm going to bring this nation upon you from before, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. This nation is a mighty nation. It's not a tiny nation. No, this is a mighty nation. Do you remember how when we were still in the book of Kings, how Assyria
had conquered, let's say, it had fought against Egypt. Assyria had fought against Israel. Assyria was how can I say, sometimes we say balling. That means there was conquering other nations. Well, the Babylonians or the Chaldeans overpowered the Assyrians, and now they consume Israel and Judah. It's a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, been around a long time. It's a nation that speaks a different language. Now, can you imagine being overtaken by people speaking in a language? Just imagine a little bit that you can't understand. And you see the army coming. You've heard the horses coming and the dust is kicking up and you're trusting in the wall, your big fence cities, hundreds, sometimes feet going up, or let's say many feet going up, and it's wide. And they're speaking in a different language, and you wish that you could understand just a little bit. It's confusion. There's chaos. More confusion from what you saw in Genesis 11. God said he confounded their language. Now here you got a people coming in, taking over you, and you don't know what to do. Oh, my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. Didn't Daniel and them have to? I said Daniel and them. That's Daniel and them. Those others that went with him. They had to learn a new language. Yes, they did. I love verse 16 for the imagery. The quiver of, I believe it was the encasement for the arrows. I didn't probably say that right, but that's the words that come to me. It says the quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. What is this saying? Now, death has never seemed to be satisfied. People die continuously. They've been dying for a long time. I'll join that group after, well, let's say, when the Lord says so, right? Join that group. And so since death never seems to be satisfied, he's saying when they come in, they're quivered. When they shoot their bow and arrow, it's like it's just going to be a continuous thing. That's the picture. The picture is be afraid. The picture is war is coming after you. The picture is your sins have found you out. The picture is you're not going to be able to stop it. There is no shield that's going to stop it. God was supposed to be your shield. That wall you've been trusted in is not going to stop it. Your quiver is an open sepulcher. It will continue to devour and receive every soul that has sinned against God. They're almighty men, verse 17. And they shall eat all that you have planned to do to help protect yourself. You've planned, you've planted, you've done all the. Listen, it comes to naught. And they shall eat up thine harvest. It reminds me of Gideon. I think that's Judges chapter 6, and the Midianites would come, and Gideon was on the threshing floor, and every time, it's like they would come in, and they would ravish and take all of the food. What about all that labor you did? Listen, and they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. This is for your family. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. What's my point? Your economy is not going to benefit you one single bit, but they're going to take over. They're going to take over. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds, and they shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish the fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Now, it's interesting that they trusted with the sword, but they said God's sword is not going to do anything. Let me just make the application. If we turn away from God, we will trust ourselves in many other things that we will begin to take upon ourselves. Leave God out. If he's not first, let me put that, because sometimes you say, I'll leave God in, but if he's not first, be careful, because the world will consume you. The system will consume you. We need God's word to be a light unto our feet. It is our wisdom. This was never supposed to happen. Did you read in the scriptures? This was never supposed to happen. I want to turn a little bit. There is a notion here in this 17th verse that I think it's you see this in many scriptures. I'll make mention of one. Okay, I'm not going to turn to it. In the book of Haggai, so I'm going to a different time frame. Okay. In the book of Haggai, the first chapter, somewhere around the fifth or sixth verse, the people had come back from being captive, and they were going to rebuild the destroyed temple, right? So that's after where we are tonight in Jeremiah. That's after Daniel, in the 70 years of captivity. Get to the point, Gary. They had forsaken building the temple of God, and God in Haggai, about the sixth chapter, the sixth verse of the fifth of the first chapter, God said, you build houses and you build all these things. You have sown much and you bring in little. I said I wasn't going to read it, but I wrote it down. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. You hear that? You're trying to earn wages, but it's like you put money in a bag with holes in it. It's a similar notion, is my point. It is not the same time frame. All this that they have done, and they're trying to plant the crops and so forth. It's like it's not God. It's like he's not going to let it come to pass. Hey, God, we saw when they forgot about God, all that they were doing, he didn't let it come to pass. It is futile to try and live in this world without true life. So God has asked these people, this nation, questions, hard questions, this to get them to see themselves, to see that they're dying, to see that they have left him, to see that their protection is gone. Now they should be afraid. They should be afraid because all the nations around them practically hated them. You see, sometime you might see a positive relationship, hire them and so forth, but you know, we'll take you over. I hope it makes sense. Well, God says in the 18th verse here, even though all these things are going to happen, nevertheless, in those days, the days when these things really start to take place, remember, Jeremiah, he's prophesying to them for several decades, about four decades. So this is the interesting thing. In these 40 some odd years, he's not saying that these things are going to change, but he's still begging them to repent. He is begging Judah to repent for all the sins that they have done and to turn around, even though they would still incur God's judgment. Peradventure, God would not, if God wanted to, he could change the severity of his judgment, but they would not listen. But God says, you know what? Nevertheless, in those days when this judgment begins to fall and this Babylonian nation comes, he says, in those days, said the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. I've made a promise. I think it was in the, I can't remember if it's the third chapter or the fourth chapter. It was almost like, not Isaiah, but Jeremiah was like, well, how are you going to do this? God is faithful to his truth, his word, and it's his truth that we need to understand. Listen at this 19th verse. This, I believe, is where the true arrogance is right here. And it shall come to pass when these things start to come, let's say, to fruition, when ye shall say, when Judah's going to say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been guilty of feeling like that? God, you have to bless me. I know I didn't keep your word. I know I've been lying. I know I've been cheating. I know I've been stealing. I know I've been fornicating. I know I've been coveting. I know I've been causing disharmony. I know how I haven't respected my parents. God, you know my heart. And you just going to have to forgive me. How you going to do this to me? Oh, that's the arrogance. Now, do you remember when I talked about how we really don't understand God's greatness, the heaviness, the weightiness, his magnificence? And I said, remember the cherubim, remember the seraphim, remember the lightning on the throne. The Bible in Revelation said that no one was able to approach him. Who's going to open the book? There was no one righteous to open the book. No one. Who's going to bring deliverance. And then you have those who will say, do what I want to. You say, Gary, you putting some stuff that's not in there. Am I really? 19th verse, and it shall come to pass when you shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Like, God, you don't have a right to do that. You need to look at us again. We your people. You know, you're supposed to have our back. Okay. Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land. He calls it their land right there, when it was really, I think it's Leviticus 25, when he says, it's not your land, it's my land. I'm loaning this to you. It's like your tenants. So you keep it like I say. The people never were supposed to think that they belonged to themselves. They were always supposed to belong to God. Watch a show every now and then. What not always the best show you who you're with. And you serve strange, and you serve strange gods. So shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Now you're about to be scattered. That leper is going to devour you. He's going to take part of you. That lion is going to come and devour you. He's going to take part of you. You know these lions that take the piece. And if it's a male lion, he'll take it. Try to take it away from the pride of females. Listen, listen, listen. God, what you doing? Don't you know who we are? And that's scary. That is very scary. Listen to this next verse here. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it. Judah saying, hear now this. It's like basically this truth needs to be broadcast because the people are not listening. But Jeremiah, you be faithful. Though they are going to ignore you, though they're going to hurt you, I need you to remember something. When you speak my words, truth is going out. The people have no excuse that they did not know, that they did not hear. They knew it from the beginning, and they're hearing it again. When you give God's judgment, it says if they hearken and change and repent in time, you can save someone with your words. But if they continue to stop up their ears, judgment is coming. So declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding. Oh my goodness. Oh, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. What is that? You had the faculties. God created you with a heart. He, as a nation, was growing you up, giving you the opportunity to understand. But you stopped your ears up. It makes me think of Matthew. We was talking about Matthew not too long ago. I think it's 13 and 7. They said, Jesus, why are you speaking parables? He said, because these people think they wise. So they think they see. But they're so wise that they can't see what I'm saying. So I'm speaking in parables. They think they hear so much, then they know so much. They're not going to hear what I'm saying. If they really wanted the truth, then they would inquire. They would talk to me and they would change. Did Nicodemus change? You see Nicodemus change. He belonged to that group of people. They don't want the truth. This people does not want the truth. Now, what is Ezekiel? No, I'm sorry, not Ezekiel. What is Jeremiah to publish? This question is one of the questions I asked Judah. You don't fear me. Judah, do you not remember what I did to Israel? Judah, listen at it. Fear ye not me, said the Lord. Will ye not tremble? You're not going to tremble. And people say you're not supposed to be afraid of God. He's too great not to be afraid of. Fear ye not me, said the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand before the boundary? Now, we've talked about this. God made a decree and the sand couldn't. The ocean, though it be mighty and it roar, it could not overrule what God has said. So I want to take just a little bit of time to look at this. Fear ye not me. Let's turn here to, I think it's, I'm going to read a little bit of Zephaniah. All right. I'm going to look at the presence and going to look a little bit at this fear. This is verse 22. Fear ye not me, said the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, I want to read out of Zephaniah. I'm going to read, I think, verse 2, verse 4, and then I'm going to kind of move around just a little bit. This is Zephaniah. Zephaniah, he's talking to Judah as well. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 2. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. He's talking about Judah. Verse 4. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chemarims with the priests. Because there's a lot of wickedness going on. I told you they was worshiping these other deities and doing sexual things up there. Listen at verse 7, still in Zephaniah. Zephaniah 2, Zephaniah 4, now verse 7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. Sacrifice, God's going to deal with those people and going to consume them as if they were like sacrifices. God, listen to that. Hold thy peace at my presence. When you are in the presence of God, be afraid. He said, Moses, take your shoes off. You see how when he asked Adam a question, how Adam was? When he asked Cain, how Cain was? What is the question that God is asking of us today who's supposed to be the body of Christ? Are we presuming upon God, his goodness and mercy and his long suffering? Romans chapter 2 and 5, verse 7 and 8. Don't presume upon God's goodness. To be in the presence of God should be a washing experience whereby we see ourselves, see him high and lifted up and powerful, and that he will give us the strength. Oh, my Lord, listen, hold thy peace at the present. Be quiet, be quiet. I'm going to go to verse 12, Zephaniah, and I'm going to read down through about the, go to verse 12, and I'm going to read down through the 18th verse. I said this is about the same time he's talking to Judah. Verse 12, let me see, I'm in a different Bible here. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Well, we say there's God, but he didn't do anything. He's not involved. Is that not, don't you hear some of that in this modern day times in which we live? Verse 13. Therefore their good shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. Doesn't that sound like what we were talking about from Haggai? I said they shall also build houses. We gonna do it anyway. I don't care what you say about God. I'm gonna do it anyway. He ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't even think he exists. But not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Oh, my goodness. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fifth cities, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Listen at verse 18. All that you're doing doesn't matter. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in that day, or in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. He's saying, I'm getting rid of y'all in Jerusalem. I'm letting Babylon come in. Work, 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 plan, plan, plan. And I'm going to blow on it. I'm coming in to destroy. That is amazing. People say, well, Gary, God is not like that today. The Bible says he doesn't change. I think it's Malachi 3 and 6. Now, I just talked about the presence. I just talked about the fear. Can you read that text and tell me that that is not a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the terrible guy? He's terrible. He's wonderfully terrible. Now, I think I remember something about David. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. He said in Psalm 51 that mine iniquities are separated from you. Blot out my iniquity. Blot out my transgression. Judah, you won't listen. You're not careful in the presence of God. David said, don't cast me away from thy presence. I know I've done wrong. If I'm cast away from your presence, I shall perish. But to be in your presence, I know it's a scary thing. Created me, God, please, because I've got these tendencies in me, sinful ways. But if I take heed unto thy word, I know you'll cleanse me. Wherewithal shall a young man be cleansed? By taking heed to the word of God, hearing the word of God, seeing the word of God. If you stubborn, if you persistent in sin, be afraid, because God's got some questions for you. You got some questions, and there are answers whether we answer them right or not. David said, cast me not away from thy presence. I don't want to be in your presence the wrong way. Yes. So when we look at this, there are things that we ought to see here. Can I read something else? I'm going to. There's not too many verses left in this chapter. I think I heard something about the voice of the Lord. I want to turn to Psalms 29. When God asks a question, Psalms 29. I think I'm going to get there here in a second. Psalms 29 got some wonderful verses. I had read it before. It meant something to me, but not as it should have. I heard Pastor Tim talking about it. He don't like to be called Pastor Tim, but I'm going to call him Pastor Tim. Listen at this when it talks about the voice of the Lord and the power that's in it. You don't want to be afraid. If you don't want to be afraid, ask it, why not? Why not? Do we know more than God? He asked Job some questions. I think it starts around Job 38, 39. Job, where were you when I determined that I'm going to let the... Can you tell me where I keep the snow? Tell me how I decreed that the ocean's not supposed to go past the bank. Tell me, Job. Tell me. Really? Listen at verse chapter 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. I hope I'm reading this right. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, you can't give it to God, but you recognize it. Give unto the Lord the glory. Do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh cedars. Yea, Lord, breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Now, you got to know something about Lebanon, that those cedar trees were huge and enormous. Sixth verse, he maketh them also to skip like a calf. A tree. Think of a cartoon and you see the big tree getting up. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. The animals have the birth at the voice of the Lord. And discovered the forest and the temple, doth every one speak of his glory in his temple, rather. Let's just read the last few verses. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. No one's going to take him down. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. When his people are obedient, he blesses them with peace. I'll read another passage of Psalms and we're going back to the scripture, all right? I'm turning to Psalms 19 now, because we see that they did not want to keep God's law. They turned to these other gods. Jeremiah, he's coming in and he's telling them they're supposed to fear. Listen at 22 again, Jeremiah 5 and 22. Fear ye not me, said the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand before the sea? And it goes on and roar. It says, but this people, verse 23, Jeremiah 5:23, but this people had the revolted and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. They are so stiff-necked. How does it read in another translation? Hear this, ye foolish and senseless people, who have eye but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble at my presence? I want to skip down. I want to get to verse 23. So here, give me a second. Here I am. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. Now, still with this fear in the presence of the Lord and his voice, and disregarding, rejecting what he says, I shall start at verse 7 and read through verse 11. Okay? Verse 7 of Psalms 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. They were simple and foolish, but they didn't want to adhere. Correction and the wisdom and the light and the strength and the power comes when you hold on to God in spite of what your heart may tell you, in spite of what the world tells you. They have neither heaven nor hell to place you in. Matthew 10:28, fear the one who can destroy the body and soul and put it into hell. Verse 8 of Psalms 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, is pure, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than Baal, than a job, it's an advancement, than a status. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Verse 11. Moreover by them, moreover by what? The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, and the judgment of the Lord, and being fearful of them because their consequences. Moreover, in other words, by these things thy servant is warned. Warned from what? And in keeping of them, living by them, being obedient to them, there's great reward. You can be saved from all these other nations, Judah. You could be have my protection. I hope this is making sense. But these people, I'm back in Jeremiah 5:23. They're not going to be warned by it. They're not going to have rejoicing of the heart because they don't want this. You see? So what do? They're rebellious people. Verse 24, Jeremiah 5. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. What is he saying? What is he saying? God had told them how he would bless them, and there would be a certain, like at the beginning of a harvest and the end of a harvest, because they would have these feast ceremonies, and he would give them what they needed to please him. He told them how you approach me. He told them how you remember me. He told them not to forget what I've done, but Jeshurun, I think it's Deuteronomy 32, maybe around 14 to 15. Jeshurun, Israel, they waxed fat. I blessed them and they turned their back on me and they smelled themselves and thought they were something. And I watched them and I watched them and I watched them. And Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because I didn't judge them every single time and just destroy them, they felt like they could do what they want to. So I asked them questions, hard questions that should have pierced to their souls. They said, you know, he gives us the rain. But they also said, "Why, God, how are you going to do this to us? We expect the rain. Now give it to us." Mm-hmm. Verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. What's that said? Good things. When it seems positive, he calls it good things. But when the judgment comes and it seems negative, he'll call it evil. But it's good because it comes from God, because God keeps his word. You can count on God. Imagine if he didn't keep his word. You could not count on him. He's not fickle. He's not capricious. He is steadfast and faithful to his word. Your iniquities have turned away these things, all of these blessings that you learned about. And your sins have withholding good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares, They set a trap and catch, well, they set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. I'm aware of the time. This is sad. Let's see, Judah and Israel were at one point, let's say in time, a united nation in the sense that they had not been a split kingdom. They were family. Different tribes of the same father, they were family. God gave them laws as to how they should treat one another, how they should treat the stranger. You can go and read about that. There was never supposed to be this division, but what we see in these scriptures is how they would mistreat the helpless that were supposed to be their family. God is not pleased if the family is broken. The scripture will speak of family in heaven, speak of family on earth, because there are many sons of God, and he wanted it all to be as a praise to him. Yes, so there's been division in this world, and Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. How is it, Judah, that you're going to mistreat the orphan? How is it, Judah, that the woman whose husband has died, who would have been protection, who would have been a source for her, I'm not devaluing the woman, but that's the way God has said it. How is it that you're going to mistreat this woman? You got people planning and devising to take every little thing that you can from the helpless so they can set themselves up like fatted cats. Take it. And I don't mean it like what you hear on television all the time. Some people earn and they build. Everybody that has money that hasn't done it in a crooked fashion. But this is talking about crooked. This is talking about people whom God had given his law. That's what this is talking about.
I said we might turn to Amos. Let's go there for a second. Because there's something similar. Israel. Judah, you didn't see what I did to Israel? I want to turn to Amos. This is the message is when you know to do right and you know God will punish you. Don't pretend like you won't, okay? I'm turning to Amos. I want to look at all of Amos is good. So I want to look at fifth chapter, and I think I want to start at about the 11th verse. I'm gonna start at the 12th verse, and I'm gonna read down to about somewhere around maybe 16. This is Amos 5. This is dealing with Israel. Okay, so this is prior to what happened in Judah, but Israel, which should have been an example to Judah, saints, some of the same things are happening. All right, please hear this. Verse 12. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. I think that's in italics, but it's to try to help bring a point across. Verse 13. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silent in the time, for it is an evil time. This is where he's pleading to them. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in a gate. And it may be that the Lord, this is like, okay, perchance if you change, if you repent, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Listen, therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, women wailing shall be in the streets and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such are skillful lamentation and wailing. I'm going to 19. Well, let me go and read. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Like, you're not going to get away. And went into the house and learned that his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. And then it goes on to talk about how the day of the Lord shall be destruction. We'll turn to 24, same chapter. But let the judgment run down in the waters like a righteous as a mighty stream. And you go on and see some other things. You read in this book, I might not have actually turned to it, but you see where you see the people are sitting in houses of luxury, being on their beds, and just planning to do wickedness. That's what the picture is. So when we go back to this Jeremiah, the fifth chapter, he said, you setting up ways to profit yourself off of the weak. That shouldn't be. I'm at Jeremiah 5 and 29. There's 1, 2, 3 verses here. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. This is, okay, I'm sorry. That was chapter 4. Let me go back here. Chapter 5. Okay. The cage is full of birds. So this is 5 and 27. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. It's lying all the time, trying to get over on people. Therefore, they have become great. This is how they've profited and made themselves big. And they've waxen rich. Verse 28. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. This is saying that they have gone so far beyond. It's like, you put the wicked to shame with how you living, and you're supposed to be my people. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not. No judgment. No judgment in the land. God said, shall I not come and avenge? Verse 29. Shall I not visit these things? Can't let it go on forever. Said the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged? Look, the scripture kind of gives us to know when people of God have been mistreated. It's like you messing with him, right? Didn't Jesus ask Paul a question? Paul, what you doing to me? You trying to put people in prison? You harming people that are living for me? They are now part of the body of Christ. God said, I got to come down. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. It's not wonderful in the sense of a wonder that it causes amazement. Like, how can this be? When people have heard of God, and let's the world has heard of God Almighty. Okay, the world has heard of the Messiah. In this, we have a lot of different people's opinions and writings on it. We want to stand with the word of who God says it's done, because he condemns the world of sin. He doesn't let you do what you want to. He'll ask questions. He'll let you know that you deserve death if you don't change. Where were you, Adam? Where's your brother, Cain? Where's your husband, woman? Judah, shall I not visit? You've cast me aside. The prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Another poignant question. They were arrogant enough to think that God was not there, that he was not going to do anything. But he says, I'll show you. I'm going to show you. Jeremiah has been proclaiming the judgment of God and trying to get these people to remember. So the prophets continue to prophesy lies. Jeremiah is going to suffer. Well, this concludes. It doesn't conclude it, but this is where I'm going to stop this evening in this particular. We're at the end of chapter 5. I'm glad to see that we're going to progress to another chapter, Lord willing. But my question, when I started to, or my title was Yahweh's question should pierce to the soul. We see a people that it didn't really seem to affect the vast majority of them. That shouldn't be us. The scripture says that the things that we see and reread about in the scriptures, we're supposed to understand some things by them. Let's not be identified with these hard-hearted people. You want to read about some hard-hearted people, read Hebrews 3. Read it well. So these are descendants of the people that Hebrews 3 is talking about. And then go on and read chapter 4. But focus on those first 2 or 3 verses in chapter 4. Talk about how they did not mix their faithfulness with what the things that they had heard. Well, we're not going to teach Hebrews right now, but the scripture is written for us, saints. So I want to pray, and we'll open up for discussion if there's going to be any. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to see the questions that will penetrate. Help us not to persist in any evil ways that's not pleasing to you, but rather help us to draw near to you in full assurance of faith, casting aside the things that will easily beset us. Help us to joy in your word. And I ask that you give us strength, Lord. We need it. We need it. Help us to hide your word in your heart that we might not sin against you, Lord. Create in us a clean heart. Be our strength. Be our redeemer forever and always. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open for discussion if there's going to be any on this evening. I think I heard someone possibly. Hello? Yes. I don't hear you well. I think I hear faintly a voice. That might have been me echoing. Anyone? Praise the Lord. Hello?
Amy Abdul.
I was thinking that. Yes, ma'am.
I really don't have anything to say. Well, yeah. I did, but then you went to verse 19. Then I got an echo.
Can you repeat what you said? I think there was the
I don't know. I keep hearing the echo. Okay, it's gone now.
Okay.
No, I just heard it again. Is that your phone, Tim?
Hello. Hello. Say, you want to say something? See if it's still echoing. I think I'm echoing too. You think it's my phone?
Can you hear me?
I do.
Okay. So I did have something to say, but you know, because great minds think alike. You went to Psalm 19, and I was thinking about Psalm 19. And so I was going to have something to say, but you said it. Awesome. It was really good. Let me see. About fear, I think the thing I had in mind is that the thing you brought out the most to me is that the fear is the boundary. Mm. In that verse, the way you hammered in on it,
mm-hmm.
It's like to fear the Lord is the boundary that he set forth, because he gave the picture of the sea having a boundary. And that you think that once you're not afraid of God anymore, only destruction can come. Just like when the water overflows. I watched the thing on the tsunami. It was the most horrifying thing I had ever watched, worse than any scary movie I had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was happening, you know, it happened in, I want to say it was Bangladesh, somewhere like that. But people were only, they didn't know. And they didn't really have a good warning.
Wow.
But they saw the water coming. And they thought, oh, well, yeah, a tide coming in. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And they started running. They just took off running down and through the street. And this man was on the top of his, he was at the top floor of his hotel. And he was just out there filming people on the, you know, the beach and stuff and having fun. Mm-hmm. And this water came in and washed these people away. And not only did it wash them through, all the way through the city, the town, because it's like he turned around and looked down, it was like the alleyway. Mm-hmm. And they were floating down. But when they came back, it took people, it took cars, it took all the lawns, the beach furniture they had, it mm-hmm. wiped it away. It took stuff out. They say they couldn't even find people because the sea took it back out. And I was thinking, you know, when you move past those boundaries, only destruction comes. Mm-hmm. When you stop fearing the Lord, that's your boundary. That keeps you in line. That keeps you in line with his commandments to say, okay, I better do this, because not only were there blessings, but there are curses.
Yeah.
And whenever you fix in your heart, then you may not say those exact words in Deuteronomy 29 and what is mm-hmm. verse 19. Well, you may not say you're going to bless yourself that way, but you do it by not fearing him, and you do it by going ahead and doing what you want to do, and you say, I have license to do it. I have been released to do this. I have made up my mind that I'm okay, and no matter what anybody say, they come, because that's what the prophets came. They say, hey, do you remember the curse? That's what they come to say. Remember?
You have to say it. You got to repeat it just like you did. It's not funny, but it's true.
It is. And it's like, but it's to get you back in line. And they say, are you fearing him enough? Well, you know, we bless people. You mean I got a good job? Of course, look at me. I'm fat and happy. I have to be blessed. So what you're talking is nonsense. And you can talk to people for years, and it may never dawn on you that they're saying that in their heart. But it's like, I see the signs of it. But I just can't fathom how you could say that. How can you be that sure? Because there's no fear there. And when you don't fear the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's only the beginning. Only the beginning. And so people never make it to the beginning. And so once you start, it's been told to you that you're safe and secure because you're in a particular church, because you worship with a particular group, because you keep certain laws and statutes, but you never fear him. You're going to walk outside of those things and you'll still declare yourself to be blessed. You'll declare and decree that you're still blessed.
Yeah.
And it's all the devil, and he's just trying to get at you, and you can't see him calling you back. And so it was good. That really stuck out to me. That's your fence. Fear is your fence to keep you in. And it's like, if you don't fear him, you better be asking, Lord, help me fear you, but don't kill me. I don't want that. It's like, can I still see and speak? Can I have all my faculties? But I need to fear you. I don't fear you enough, because I do stuff. And you know your own self. You only examine your own self.
Yes.
That's what the prophet came to say. Examine yourself.
Yes.
Lest you be reprobate. Examine yourself. And I think that's the thing, is like, sometimes we need to really look at ourselves in the mirror, not to fix our hair, not to, you know, to wash our face, but I mean to just look at yourself in your own eyes.
Yep.
And sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, you got some stuff in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you don't say in your heart. What verse is that when he said, neither did you say in your heart?
Verse 24. Neither say they in their heart. I meant to go back and hit that. Neither
go
say
get
they
it.
In their heart. Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain. Ouch. Hit my earphones. That giveth us rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest.
It starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. People think it starts in their mouth or in their mind. Start in your heart. Say, I want, like you say, give us a clean heart. I want my heart to change. I want to be different towards you. I want to appreciate and not take for granted.
Yeah.
The benefits. The benefits.
So many people, like, now, I mean, it's really sad, because it's so perpetuated that you go, you lift your hands up. I mean, we know he's going to talk about that kind of stuff. And you sing. And I mean, maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and maybe a verse. I mean, and I think a verse can be really, like, if it's done right, it can really, but I think other parts of the scripture is going to have to be brought in or something. But, and satisfied. It is sad, because this is a question that I ask people a good bit. You know, I'm talking about, I said, are you mad at God? And when I ask that question, because I've asked plenty, because I asked myself that, you know, years before, several times. And then, like, if I say, okay, are you mad at God? If I am, it's like, if I feel like, you know, I get this scary, it's like, whoa, you better get on your face right now. And I ask some people, so are you mad at God? And they look at me like, what? Man, no. I'm like, I'm asking you a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Man will rob from God. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
We'll rob. Unless we got the right heart and mind.
Well, men will lie to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't they lie to God? So it's like you asking them that, and it's like they know in their heart. Yeah, I probably, if I count it up and weigh it out, I don't like it very much. I don't do what he say. I don't do what he say. I don't like the way my life has turned out, and I deserve better. And that's where you make the mistake.
Yeah,
you make the mistake of thinking you deserve better. And who was that? What's his name? I'm better than I deserve. What's his name? Dave Ramsey.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it's like once you start thinking you deserve better, and this kind of discontentment set in, you really mad at God, because you really think your life should be better, and and you feel like I got all of this stuff, and I've been working, and I've been, and it's like, no, you don't fear me. And it's like, fear is your boundary. Fear is your test. If you ever think you love him, do you fear him? That's the real test. So if you ask people, you know, you like, yeah, I love the Lord. Do you fear him? Oh, we know you're not supposed to fear him on where you don't love him.
Oh, my tooth, so they go put goddamn liar. The truth. Folks don't know what that means. And I want to resurrect it. I kept people, they take the rainbow and make it what they want it to be. I want to take that away from cussing. I want to take that away from cussing and see it like it really ought to be said. Because do in your soul, Gary, do you really feel that sometimes too? These people telling goddamn damnable lies. I say Nebola able because of people a lot of time, but it's been way before we even start coming to Gainesville.
Yes.
I start realizing, I say, people get angry over the wrong damned things.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. Folk damn you if you don't go along with pedophilia. People mm-hmm. will damn you if you don't go along with abortion. People would damn you if you don't want them to bring in people in your schools to teach your children not only to disrespect and to believe evolution. And if you don't, they'll get angry. They get angry over the wrong damn things. And so what people don't have a tendency to utter ability to understand is every religious system has a thing that it adheres to, that it praises, those that they reject and that they damn. People get angry over the wrong damned things.
Yep.
And when God damns something, we don't care. But usually when people say something is God damn, they really mean I damn it. Or my culture damn it. When it's God that damns something, it's like, oh, you can't say that. Don't even think it. God gets angry and damns a lot of stuff, and we don't even have fear to even know it. That's the point.
Yeah.
However badly I said it, there are things that God has told you if you do this, you'll be damned. He tell you if you believe not, you'll be damned. He tells you you'll be cursed. What? So because the word is cursed instead of damn, you don't get it?
Mm-mm.
Sometimes he call them cursed children. I like to put that archaic ED on instead of curse. Cursed children. Sometimes we call them sottish or stupid.
Yeah.
So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning, as Andrina said, the beginning, just the beginning of wisdom, then the lack of the fear of God is the beginning of the depths of your folly.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when you deal with God, the converse will be true. It really will. But I like that Zephaniah stuff was good. And I know the Bible don't say this, and I know it's not biblical, but if you could bear with me with my folly, and indeed bear with me in my folly, it almost sounds like you could take that and say, I'm going to get you, sucker. I'm going to make the land desolate. I tell you, the false prophets, if God would kill every false prophet and let them be dead for 20 years, what would this world be like?
Oh, wow.
Because the false prophets are the ones that really mitigate God's restrictions. They mitigate his judgment. They say peace when there is no peace. They speak in the stead of God, yet they do it falsely. In other words, Jeremiah says it better than I do, but I'm going to say it my way anyway. They speak in the stead of God, but they say in their own words. They're like, they treat God like a ventriloquist dummy. See, Jeremiah said, I didn't tell you to run. Remember, was that Ahimelech or whatever? They were going to run and tell David what happened with Absalom. And one of the men was going to run. And then he said, I want to run. I want to run. I want to run. My name's Forrest. I want to run. My name's Forrest Gump. I want to run. He said, but you don't have nothing to say, but I just want to run. So Quayton ran and outran Shabar, and he got there and had nothing to say. I believe Jeremiah was familiar with that, but anyway, Jeremiah said, I haven't sent these prophets, and they ran. But if they had sat in my council, if they had done a Micaiah, they would have had something to say. I believe that the reason that these people like these smooth people, they have ran and they got a message. And since they know you don't know, and sometimes they're deceived by the wicked one, they'll tell you their message and they'll call themselves reverend when they do it. They might turn their shirt backwards and make it look like a preacher's collar. They might put a daggone hat on. They may get on TBN with some tight pants and look like they want to do booty. Frederick, I'm talking about. They may wear like a homosexual style clothing like T.D. Jake. They may stand up there with rabbit-looking teeth and long hair. This is my Bible. I got what my Bible say. I might dance all over and pour oil on a cloth and give it to you, sell your holy water. But I'm going to say I'm saying it in the name of God. And if you don't believe that I'm speaking for God, I'll say, and so now that I've spoken a tongue, as I call it, not a language, just a tongue. And now I'm telling you what you really need to be afraid of is disappointing me. I'm going to usurp the fear of God. And I'm going to usurp it and make the fear of what I say is the beginning of wisdom. Whether I'm telling you with the tithe, whether I'm telling you not to judge, whether I'm telling you that you better be at this church every minute, whether I'm telling you that you need to go inclusion, whether I'm telling you that you need to be a black Democrat or a Republican, whatever. It's like those white guys used to say, everybody wants to rule the world. And when you come with God's word, it's foreign. It's foreign to us.
Yeah.
That language shouldn't be foreign. Whatever, because he said, my sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me. A stranger they will not hear. And Jesus said, the reason you don't hear me, you're none of mine. And so when you go and you tell somebody, you hear my voice change it to real now. When you go and you tell somebody what God's word say, they think they got time. They think they can play because they say, well, I'll fear him later. They think that they can put it off till they get ready. Not knowing the terror of God. Not knowing that you could walk with God so far, and there are things you could cut out of your life, and a lot of times you feel it's okay because it's not hell. Didn't seem like it was okay to Moses. Then again, you could cut yourself out like Esau. And you know, Moses had found grace in the eyes of God, and God still would not let him go in. Moses said, if I have found grace in your sight, let me see your glory. He let him see it, so he had found grace. Don't play with me. But that wasn't enough. Judah had all of that. They were holy, called sons of God, had God's blessing. God had an expected end for them. He had good plans for them. And now I'm going to have to show you, in the words of faith, I was going to say Faye Wayman Merritt, but I'm not going to do it. In the words of Lola Faye Merritt. In the words of Lola Faye Merritt. You're going to make me whip you, Tim. Why do you make me punch you, Tim? Why? I want to be sweet. Why? Why do you make me do it? Why do you make me have to raise my voice? Why do you make me punish you when you can't go on the play? Why?
She said, I want to be
sweet. She said, Gary, did you ever get that speech, or was it only me and Barry?
I don't remember getting that, but I do remember getting whoopings. I can't count them.
Did you ever hear Barry get that speech?
I don't think so. I don't remember that.
Hey, that was reserved for me. Okay. I believe the devil wanted to destroy me at an early age because he's been around long enough to have an idea to know what kind of child and what their interests are, mm-hmm. and what could have happened with that person. But God was determined not to let them make me a smooth-talking, usurping, make the people be afraid of me kind of man. But I enjoyed the message in that when you think about God's questions. Let me throw this out here. You may not, you'll believe it because I don't lie to you. So I just take it for granted and believe my words. Just the other day, Ann and I was just going over questions that Jesus talked about. We just did a test. If you get off the phone and you ask Dree without telling her, don't cheat and look at her Bible, tell her to give you 5 questions Jesus asked and see how long it takes. And if she do it too fast, make it 10. Then you do the same. Then you do the same. And you just start thinking about it. He did a lot of questions. And so as you were going through Jeremiah, I was just listening to the questions. Listening to the questions. God don't want us to be dumb, wild dromedaries. Did you know something left that word out for you? He wants us to think. Where are you? Did you not hear my word? Did I say anything to you about sacrifices when I first called you? Did I? Think. Okay, what did I say? Obey my voice. Get the boy. That's my wife right there. But anyway, I'm through talking. Thank you for the message.